You work hard for your money, so let your money work hard for you. With as little as $1,000 to start, you can watch your money grow by investing in CFAL's Bahamian dollar and U.S. dollar mutual funds, each tailored to match your unique investment profile. Our expert advisors are dedicated to crafting personalized investment strategies to help you achieve your financial goals. Don't miss out on the chance to earn higher returns on your hard-earned money. Join the thousands of investors who trust CFAL and start your journey toward financial freedom today. Visit us at CFAL.com to learn more about our saving and investment options, and let us help you build wealth so you can live well. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
They say our generation lost our roots and things. There's a part of me that wants things. Only grew up on it. They rickets keep going and they try put it in our coffin. This thing give you that feeling. Where rickets keep going and we're going down with all them songs.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Thursday, 21st of August, 2025, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. And I got a guest in guest in studio for conversation this morning. I think it's an important conversation. I saw some news flash across my social media feed, and it grabbed me. Changed the whole course of the show today. The topic we're going to be talking about today is from Pong to AI and the IoT, privacy and security in the 21st century. I have a local cybersecurity expert in studio with me today, and we're going to be delving into some of the issues that are right at our fingertips. These are urgent issues. Now, people say, man, Aaron, what's urgent for you is not necessarily urgent for me. I can tell you why it's urgent for me. My niece had been visiting me this summer. I had to quickly pop back into guardian mode, parental mode, right? Responsible adult mode. Because being responsible for raccoons and cats is totally different from being responsible for children. And so when I saw this article yesterday, I thought, no, we really should talk about these things. This article was shared by a Bahamian in a WhatsApp group, and I am so grateful that they shared this, because this article is produced by an industry professional that they follow personally, and so, you know, an individual at all. But everything going AI. I know there's a rake and scrape song out there about that, you know, like everything changing, everything going fast. But everything going AI. And the question is, are we prepared for it? Just as we get the show started, I want to remind you guys of the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, open to junior and senior high school students across the archipelago. The prize pool is over $450, plus lots of prizes and surprises from local vendors. The competition is supported by Bahamians locally and abroad and their networks. And it is organized primarily by Mr. Dennis Carlton Bethel, a regular caller on the show. You'll hear me and Uncle tussling sometimes, but always glad to hear his contributions. And I'm so thankful that we see more and more Bahamians trying to build an ecosystem or environment for young people so that they could possibly have the experiences that we older Bahamians had, right? Positive experiences. We ain't trying to replicate only positive experiences. So to play the game, you call in. Let me know you want to play the game. I'm going to transfer you to the producer. And you're going to give the producer your information, your name, your school, the grade you're going into, or the grade you just left, and the correct answers. That's what you need to win. You could say anything you want. If you don't win, you get to play another day. the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Wheel Competition. We want the government recording record. The government recording record of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will and the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. So two pieces of information you need to win the competition. One last thing before I get the show started. I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before yesterday. I was going west on Chapel Street. I hit Blue Hill Road, waiting for the light to change. And across the road, in the mouth of Meadow Street, which is one way heading west, there was a car waiting to enter Blue Hill Road from Meadow Street. I want you all to understand. I don't need you to understand anything. You'll buck up. We're not taking this thing seriously at all. And Royal Bahamas Police Force, it's not like I'm snitching. Like, how could I snitch? If you see it at the same time that I see it, then me telling you it is not snitching, right? That ain't snitching. But we could all see that the dereliction of duty in terms of traffic enforcement has had cascading consequences, right? You ignoring people stopping at stop signs has led to far bigger problems. Now, I's a revolutionary, but, you know, Sankofa, you turn around, you pick the best of the past, and you pull it forward. I have had a Bahamian neighbor of European descent. She tell me, look here, you take care of the pennies and the pounds to take care of itself. Because she used the word pounds instead of dollars, I reject that initially. I reject it. It's old white colonial foolishness you talking, right? But replace pounds with dollars. If you take care of the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves, right? Took the edge right off. If we ensure that we get the small things correct, then the larger things will take care of themselves. You don't think we have a problem? You don't think it's a crisis that people don't stop at stop signs? One guy that I was behind yesterday as you ran the stop sign quickly past, Peck Slope onto East Hill Street, Corps of Diplomats. I'm not going to call the number because, like, y'all have special rules and I want to make sure I don't break them for bringing attention to problems in my own country. But the point is, right, that while we have been telling ourselves running a stop sign is no big deal, you have a bunch of other people out there that said, well, if ignoring a stop sign is no big deal, then ignoring other types of stop signs are no big deal as well. I know you all have seen the plethora of stories in the media involving sexual violence in young children. What do you think the age of consent is? It's a stop sign. That's all I'm saying. It's a stop sign. Age of consent is a stop sign. But remember, y'all said we don't check for stop signs. And there's some of us in this society who said, hold my beer. I shall join you in that campaign of not checking for stop signs. Anyway, we're going to make our transition. Here's why I wanted to talk about that. Because, see, we're about to talk about some high-tech, as young people talk, high-tech technology. But are we prepared to transition to high-tech if we are still unable to understand and properly operate the low-tech? The world is rapidly on the clock. We have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. We have conversations to help people understand the world as it's unfolding ahead of them. And I have a guest in studio, a local cybersecurity expert, that I've asked to join me today in this conversation, exploring some global movements that definitely have large local impact, and how we can figure out how to navigate this new world, this world of new technology, high tech even. Good morning, Ms. Thompson. All right, now I need you to speak right into the mic. It is a monodirectional mic, all this technology. Yes, ma'am.
One way.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds better?
Oh, yeah, much better.
Okay.
Please introduce yourself, your full name, your professional title, and a bit about yourself.
Okay. Hi, my name is Sega Thompson. I am the CEO and founder of Genesis Security Consulting Limited. I've been in cybersecurity and data privacy for the last 15 plus years. I've worked in several industries, including telecommunications, financial services, as well as hospitality, before coming out on my own as a consultant.
Okay, all right. So like I said, my niece was in town for the summer, and I went into parental mode. And something that flashed across my phone a number of times this summer was a story about Roblox, the popular game, online game. It's similar to The Sims.
I'm well aware of Roblox. I have a 6-year-old nephew. That is his life.
Right. I'm still on the periphery of it, right? But I know young people love it. And it has a function where they could talk to each other while they play in the game, I think. Right? People could like talk and communicate or engage each other in some way. So the story that kept flashing across my social media platforms was that there's a big concern that there were predators on the platform, but also that when those predators were brought to the attention of the owners of the platform or the admin of the platform, people say it appears as if they're not taking it seriously enough, right? And they're demanding, calling for greater reform, attention, oversight, and changes to the platform and to gaming platforms entirely, generally. Then yesterday, this article came across my newsfeed that said, Brazil's Attorney General's office gave Meta 72 hours to remove all AI chatbots that simulate children and engage in sexually charged conversations with users. And the title says, every single country should be doing the same. And then I thought, oh, wow, this conversation has advanced far than it's advancing locally in the country. I said, let's see if we could have a conversation today about what is AI, what is the Internet of Things, how this impacts the way that we live, and tips on how we can navigate this world of new technology.
All right, let's start off simple. What is AI? AI is artificial intelligence, and all it means is we now have machines performing tasks that would normally require human intelligence.
Okay, now, let's stick a pin right there. Is AI sentient? Does it have its own feeling?
Sentient.
Does it have its own feelings and capacity to reason, like without a program, I guess?
So right now, AI has three basic high levels: weak, general, and super AI. We are allegedly still on the weak side.
Okay.
So for all that we have, it is still considered weak.
Mm-hmm.
It is not considered a sentient being that has its own feelings and all that. Mm-hmm. However, AI is full of bias. Why? AI learns by people. People have inherent biases.
Yeah. So whatever bias is included in the information that it's receiving, it will receive that bias as well.
And so from that, what happens is we tune what AI learns. Like when people come and make these, see these issues, they go back and they say, okay, let's put in some additional guardrails around here. And that's how the system learns.
Okay. All right. Now, is the system learning from me? Right? I ask a question, was slavery bad? Right? And AI says, oh, slavery was very bad, especially for people of African descent. And then I say, well, I don't know, AI. My president says that slavery wasn't that bad. Would I begin to see that specific interpretation of slavery included in AI's output when people ask questions about slavery?
If like, enough of the positive inputs come in, then it would change. That's why it's a learning model. And it depends on what AI tool you're using, because they're not all actively learning.
Ah, okay. All right. So some are actively learning.
So let's go back a while.
All right, yeah, man.
AI is not new. AI has been around from the 1950s.
Okay. Now, I know it's not new.
So, but so when you go by that,
50s, let's say, okay.
From the 50s, which means that we've been using, almost everybody in some capacity has used AI. And you say, how? Do you do online shopping?
I mean, I try not to, but yes.
So you've been on Amazon?
Yes.
Those product reviews?
Yes.
Those things when they recommend those
some of those are AI?
That is AI at use, right there. Siri, Alexa, all of that? That is AI.
Okay.
Your calendar, using being able to pull from all those other people's calendars to kind of get you all into one meeting to say that, hey, you're available, that's AI. So we've been using AI. AI is not bad. It's not good. AI is just
In and of itself is a thing.
It's just a tool. It is just a tool.
All right. See, my Grammy tell me that. She says, a lie is a lie is a lie. Lie for good.
You know? AI is like a pencil. Let's be it. A pencil, when they made a pencil, the thought of using a pencil was to write.
Yeah.
That was the intent. Some little child went out there and stabbed somebody else with a sharp pencil and became a weapon.
Yeah, right. That's not what we intended.
Good or bad.
Yeah, the pencil is just a pencil.
Exactly.
Just a piece of wood with some graphite.
It all depends on how it is used.
Okay. All right. So AI has been around for a long time. We just may not be aware that we have been using AI in some of the technology or applications that we've been using. What is the Internet of Things?
The Internet of Things, in the easiest sense, the smart devices. So anything, any device that can be connected to the Internet is considered the Internet of Things.
Okay.
One, because the device is a thing, and it goes and it talks to the Internet.
All right. Okay, so anything is...
And that's... Okay, let's go with... They have smart fridges now. Your fridge that could tell you, hey... Is it too cold? Is it too hot? These are the things, depending on how much you're paying, you may need to tell you you need to go and make these changes.
Okay, so we're talking about the fancy people who say, Alexa, turn the light up in the bathroom and the light down in the living room so we could peek in and see what that child doing in there for 25 minutes.
I don't know how y'all be using your light, so I'm not going to say the A.
Yeah.
That's a camera in there. That's a camera, not just a light. But A, and in a bathroom, I'm definitely saying, you know, let's not tell people that.
Yeah, so for commercial...
Anybody who has a smart bulb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Internet of Things. It could be the sensors in your home, the thermostat.
Yeah.
Those are Internet of Things. PlayStations.
Okay, because I saw this story, and I wasn't sure if it was real or not, right? But this, from the perspective of the child, right? The child had been punished.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their cell phone taken away from them. And so they had their tablet or their laptop because they needed it for friends, even though they were, like, grounded and punished. And parents took the laptop and then told the teachers, look here, she on punishment. She can't even do her homework at home. She gonna have to figure out how to do it at school before she comes home. And then she was on the gaming console. Talking to her friends, communicating, right? Like she's on Snapchat. And they took that away from her. And then they realized that she was communicating on the watch.
Yes.
Right? And they were like, okay, well, we're going to take the watch away from you now as well. And then the final message, she was using her smart fridge to send messages to her friends to say, they got me locked. I'm locked up. They won't let me out. That's how smart my smart fridge is.
Potentially, but depends on, like, how much money you spending on your smart fridge, because you might get the lower end, and it may not...
I don't want the fridge to be smarter than me, miss. I don't want the fridge to say, Aaron, you come here again, you know you already hit your caloric intake for the day, but can a fridge say that to me? Can I program my fridge to say...
Now, I personally don't have that fridge. I would not want that fridge,
mm-hmm.
but I do know that there were concepts for the fridge, and so they may be out there now that will tell you, hey, this is what is in your fridge.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues around that was the sharing of information, because most of these devices actually share information back with...
To the owner.
Not just the brand, but Google and Meta tend to always be sharing information with other people. People like to share with them.
They have relationships
yes.
with other people outside of the relationship
yes.
they have with me.
And so there's something called sale of data, which is for monetary amounts, but it's the sharing of data across platforms. So a lot of times when we have these privacy notices and stuff, it'll tell you that, hey, you agreed to share your data.
Mm-hmm. So... In this age of new technology, right, how important is it to read the terms and agreements before I click? Like, because it's like, I feel like 400 pages.
It is very important, and not just when you first get it, but to continually check them as they update it. I'll give you an example. My daughter likes to create content. One of the tools she uses is CapCut. I'm about to do a video series for my company called Woman Crush Wednesdays, the Cyber Edition, where I feature some prominent women in the industry, and I want to talk about their accomplishments and, you know, why I would crush on them in a professional sense. And so I reached out and I said, babes, I know you use this. Does this have this feature? And she says, I think it does, but I don't suggest you use it because they just updated their privacy notice. And they now say that any content that you create on that platform is essentially theirs because they have the right to share it.
Zoom, right?
Oh, no, Zoom, I just meant the...
Okay, because I know Zoom...
Not Zoom, the platform.
No, Zoom included that in the... I have it as an example. Yeah.
So they do stuff like that. So you might start off, and even when you're getting apps, you realize that an app will turn around and most apps ask you to access your contact
list. Yeah.
Why you need to see my contact?
Yeah, you don't need to know who I don't.
But if you deny it, you can't download it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way around that is you give them the permissions, download it, and then you go back on the back end and you take them all back.
Okay, yeah.
Because you can do that.
Okay. And so these are things we... Is there a place that I could go? I'm a parent. My oldest child is going into teenhood. Is there a place where I could go to learn all these things?
I like to tell you Google is friend, but I now think that we're in the misinformation era.
You're right.
But a lot of, if you go to phones, like your Samsung would tell you that these are your privacy settings and this is what you can do. If you have children under age, all of them have parental controls on it that would allow you to, what they can do, what apps they can download, all of that.
Okay, so I know this question wasn't on the list of questions, right? But is it time for the Ministry of Education in conjunction with the Ministry of Information in the Ministry of Social Services, Information and Broadcasting, and maybe the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to collaborate to put on a course either in the curriculum form, extracurricular activity available across schools for this sort of tech training?
I believe that at this point, computers are being used everywhere, so there should be at least a computer curriculum. I say that because I've been out of the education for a while now.
Yeah.
And back then, it wasn't mandatory for me to do a computer class.
Yeah.
But at this point, I feel that every student, especially even from primary school, should be having that class, and a part of that should be cybersecurity awareness.
Yeah. I want cybersecurity awareness. I want kids to have to, as a part of a class, read through an entire terms of agreement, identify the key terms, things that may be problematic, things that people may want to opt out of, and why. Like just pass it generally, no particular perspective, and then present to a class, right? That that they can comprehend the terms, they understand what they mean, and the implications of the decisions they make, right, on the platform.
Yes, all of that should be included in that. But there's so much more in security awareness you have to cover, because passwords are always important too, because even when you think about the Internet of Things are when they hire someone, you know, it's not going to be by, I mean, there could be some, that is true, because a lot of things happen because people are bored, but it's probably going to be a neighbor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when everybody has Wi-Fi, we know it's most likely the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a weak password or an 8-character password, odds are you can get...
You're going to get hacked.
Yes.
And don't think, it's dangerous to think that all hackers either wear suits or they wear cargo, right? Like they either wear suits or they're in a criminal enterprise. Some hackers look just like your next door neighbor's son. 11, bored and smart as get out, and nobody figured out what to do with his brain except him. And now he hacking neighborhood networks.
That is true.
Yeah.
So you have the, now with technology, I think we have to get to the kids earlier, not just teach them how they're doing, because kids will sit down and figure out how to do almost anything with enough. And so it's important for us to kind of teach them, you know, the do's and the don'ts, the rights and the wrongs early, so that we don't run into these problems later on.
Absolutely. So I had the question here that said, how hackable is my home, right? But then I want to ask you sort of the question in the reverse, because I just had the image of baby-proofing a house. How easy is it to protect my home from hackers?
It's relatively easy. Protection normally comes in for these things, come in simple things like passwords. Passwords is always like the number one. It's like putting a lock on your door.
And put a password on every device? Or make sure you just have a strong password on your network?
I have passwords on all my things.
Good. recommended passwords on all devices, right?
You know how they use like tags on everything?
Yeah.
Passwords on everything.
Okay. All right. No, I for that. Smart toothbrush, put a password on it. I mean, you'd just be surprised. Yuri, why you look at me like that? First of all, I brush my teeth twice, three times a day, okay? You look at me like I was estranged from the truth. Sorry, sir.
I see you have a number of callers.
Yeah, I'm coming to call right
but
now.
But I'm thinking at home. I have my Wi-Fi open. And the reason I have it open, because I keep on forgetting the password.
What do you mean open?
No password.
I mean, okay.
And now you're saying you need a password on everything. And I said, but I have it open for a reason. And plus, I'm not a mean person. I like sharing. If the neighbors don't have...
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask this question. Do you ever do online banking from home?
Yes, I do online banking from home.
On your Wi-Fi?
On my Wi-Fi, yeah.
That is open?
That is open.
Okay, let me tell you what...
What are you trying to say?
Let me tell you what that's like. That's like walking down Camp Road with $1,000 tennis on. No, because if I see a boy walking down Camp Road, $1,000 tennis on, all kind of bracelet, and all kind of money, just dripping with money.
Ain't begging to get robbed.
I attempted to rob you. I tempted.
I don't know how my open password get involved in my bank. I don't understand you trying to say.
Okay, well, let's stick a pin. Mm-hmm. So first, when we come back from this caller, the first question we have is, how you could hack my banking information from my open Wi-Fi network? But we can go to the caller, see what question the caller has. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, y'all. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, Miss Green, and good morning to Mr. Leary. What the lady name?
Miss Thompson.
Miss Thompson, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, Miss Thompson, sorry. But, I don't know if I'm moving off the topic, right, but lately they were saying that this, I mean, I don't know if I'm moving up. You know, you heard about the roadblock with the children's play?
Roadblocks. I referenced that earlier in the show.
I missed that.
Yeah.
I must have started less than 15 minutes after you start. But they were saying they could start doing a dating app on it.
Okay.
For people to be able to date. And I was wondering if that's necessary. If this something you agree to let the children continue to play, which games you think we should not encourage them? And I mean in the games on the PlayStation. I mean it just on these computers and laptops and the phones.
Okay.
And they get this thing where they say they want me to use my card to get them some.
Child focused games and in app purchases. I got you.
Roadblocks.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you think that's a good idea to encourage them to do.
Okay, we're going to get to that in the conversation, Papa. You stay tuned. I got a whole little segment on that, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you. And don't worry, you always sound proper, like taking your call. Let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. Again, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, really, yeah. I want to advise the public, right? Because I'm actually addicted to online shopping. My bank account is getting hacked at least twice a month. Every single month, I got to go there and change my card. Seriously.
You've been serious?
I'm being dangerous with this.
Okay, can I talk?
I'm not wanting the public what to do is, right? I have a waiting list now. Just have a card and use that particular card just for shopping alone and just load up the cards as you purchase.
All right, I got you.
I just addicted, so I just find any dumbness to buy. I'll go buy on Walmart and just buy cookies.
Yeah, and you don't call me. I can't believe it. That's what you be doing. You don't never call me for snacks and tea. Great point. If you do a lot of online shopping, have a card specifically for online shopping and activity, right? Separate from your main bank account to protect your main resources. I thought you were saying that you tell your wife you get hacked because you be doing so much shopping, right? And you have to change your password regularly. One more caller and then morning caller.
What service you provide, Ms. Green? I remember when the
Ms. Thompson
I messed up. When we had the pandemic, right?
Uh-huh.
I had to get someone to come to help over the children to make sure they stay online and stay in school.
Yeah.
That person, they was like in university here online and somewhere in Jamaica or Trinidad and Tobago. But there's a doctor today in Princess Margaret. what I'm interested in now, you know, like how the BJC has come up, I don't want like putting a whole year getting ready for it with some of, I won't say the student, but I mean my children.
Okay.
I was wondering if you, if that lady, she sounds as smart. Most people tell me, say, to get a tutor, you have to go to them. I'm more interested in paying for them to come to me. She have any idea or suggestion, or you, Miss Green, because I know you, you know.
I can throw it.
Hang up and listen, thanks.
Okay, so here are the questions on the board, and are we going to go back to protecting your data at home on open and closed Wi-Fi networks? Recommendations for games or games that parents and children should stay away from online that are not safe for children and in-game or in-app purchases. And how do you put money from their children, right? Like, how do you navigate that space? Because I know my mother never thought when I was playing a video game that I could connect her credit card to it and buy things. And then perhaps later in the show, do you have any recommendations for cyber tech tutors for young people and cyber tech learning services?
So let's go back to my friend with the open Wi-Fi.
Yeah, because listen, this is he is what, gregarious. He have a dog named Dora, and Dora is very smart. Mm-hmm. And I know he's keeping the Wi-Fi open so Dora could educate herself.
Mm-hmm. Dora probably got a whole setup in a house. Mm-hmm. I get that.
All right.
The thing about open Wi-Fi networks is that means anyone can traverse your network. One, mm-hmm. that means they can make changes to anything in your house. That's how if you have any smart devices. Two, they can actually just sit on your network and gather information. So I don't like using a neighbor advice as an example because it probably ain't a neighbor. It could just be some boy child, though. It could be someone or your boss who know that you had an opening and they just mad at you, and so this is what they're doing. And if you have access, you're sitting there, you have tools you can use to actually just read that. Means I could find out your banking information. I could access your bank accounts. I can go shopping like my friend there.
Mm-hmm.
I could do things.
Plenty of things. I could communicate. I could catfish people from your account.
Yeah, because I didn't see everything you'd have been logging on to.
Yeah.
So I could get all that information, which is one of the reasons why I don't really believe in open Wi-Fi networks. I'm okay with you coming there, and I may change it, so don't even be getting there, but you remembering it.
Okay,
next time you come back, it may not be the same.
Right. Another tip, if you have guests in your home frequently and you share the Wi-Fi password, you should change the Wi-Fi password regularly as well.
Yes.
So here's what I recommend, because Nuri, I got the same problem you have with writing that, memorizing things, right? Now you could get a nice little small like dry erase board that you could stick to a wall. So not like a chalkboard, but a nice little strip of plastic dry erase. And in a library, in a room that's not open to guests.
I am not going to agree with that. What type of trick question is that?
Old people, what type of question? For guests, when you change in the password regularly and guests come in, I put it on the wall, and then when you leave, I change in it. I can write it down. So you see it, and when you leave, I change in it. That can't work either. Ms. Thompson, I just saying, that's why I bring you here. You the expert.
The dollar sign and the
what are the tips? Okay, for those of us who have...
So, there's this thing called a password manager.
Okay.
If you don't have a lot of passwords to remember, or even if you do, depending on how much money you want to spend, because normally like the first 25 accounts, they kind of keep for free. There's several of them. There's LastPass. There is Dashlane. There's quite a few. Google has
that's
it.
That's the hacker now, Mr. Mm-hmm. Newman. He said, turn the phone off.
There's many out there. One of the things it does, it gives you a safe place to store your passwords.
Okay.
They're normally encrypted. So you may still have to do your homework to make sure that it is actually being encrypted.
You chosen the correct site.
Normally, the good thing about it, you only need to remember one password. That's the password to get in there.
Right.
Two.
But if I lose that password.
But hold on.
Okay, yeah.
It's still most likely tied to your email, so you still...
I have a recovery option.
Yes, there's a recovery option. The good thing about that is allows you to randomly generate a password.
Okay.
A lot of them. Not all of them, but, you know, because they're not all created equally. So if you need a 20-character password, like I do, and you just need it randomly there, it'll do that for you.
Okay. Now, I know you see the look on my face. I'm resistant. I still resist it.
I could see that she really won't put passwords on a dry erase board.
Because here's why. And maybe what all it is I just need you to instill not to instill more, because you're doing a good job, right? But whose multi-million dollar Bitcoin account is sitting in a trash dump somewhere in India or Europe because he forgot the password for the account. Right? And
your dad's got that gonna happen anyway.
I mean, it's only $17, but it's my $17.
And, you know, that's at least bamboo.
Yeah. Twice.
Depending on what you're getting, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like people, so that's twice. But what I'm saying is we can find free paid password manager services. And this is recommended for people with businesses, professionals, business like corporate businesses.
Yep.
Okay.
Because on the business side, we're going to tell you that, hey, you should have a long password. They're easily hackable, brute force and everything. Mm-hmm. And what brute force is when they actually just keep trying. They just keep trying different passwords to get access to your account. And so they'll actually tell you with the evolution of technology and the type of programs that are out there, depending on the length and the complexity of your password, will determine how long it takes to crack.
Mm-hmm. And so I was just thinking, and everything has shifted because I just got to remember these passwords. Once I remember these passwords, I'm safe. And the longer I have the password, the easier it is for me to remember. But it turns out with this new technology, the longer I have the password, the easier it is to hack. Because with AI, all they need is an algorithm, and they're just cracking. They're using technology to do the try a code until it fits. So now I have to wipe that whole, get a piece of paper and write the password down, because I need to be prepared to change.
Because if you writing it on a paper, then odds are someone can just find it. So gone are really the days where you are encouraged to constantly change your password.
Okay.
So the National Institute of Science and Technology, also known as NIST, it's a U.S.-based entity, a few years back said that you don't really need to change your password every 30 days. As if you realize your email passwords, depending on how long you've had it, you may have had, I have one email password that I have had for more than a decade.
Mm-hmm.
But it long, and it complex.
So it's the complexity of the password that's going to save you.
Like I said, they say the longer it is and the more complex it is, which means you have capitals, you have numbers, you have special characters, you mm-hmm. have length, the harder it is for someone to crack. When you start doing things like putting your name, this is sicker.
Mm-hmm.
People can try that out or being tricked into giving up, or not even tricked, because you go there and find out when someone's birthday is half of the time because, you know, we got to celebrate our friends them. And then we can know about your dog named Doris.
Mm-hmm.
And all of
security
that.
Security questions.
Yeah, so half your security questions right there. We know who your ma is. We know your cousin them. Mm-hmm. We know you grew up on Fitzland. So, you know, we put all that together and they can be the first set of things that we use to try to break in with. Yeah. But if you start going random, today is a good day. Change out your O's for zeros. Throw in one pound sign, one exclamation, underscore here.
I got you.
You know, make sure there's a capital and not just the first letter. Like, throw an X capital somewhere randomly in there. Like, because capitals matter in most cases, you know, things like that. Just throw people off.
All right. Confuse the enemy.
Yes.
Producer, let's prep that call and then let me read this text. Aaron, the other day you said when the electricity goes off, all services could go down and you might have to go to the neighbor and ask for their Wi-Fi password to contact BTC support. Treat your Wi-Fi like a sanitary device. Don't let nobody on it. But then how I could...
Hold on. If BPL down, how come your neighbor got generated?
Because they fancy.
They get generated.
And solar. Oh, but they're good. They're nice people. See, they lend me the Wi-Fi. They're good people, right? But... And these are the things that I want to come up, right? Like, I got great neighbors. They share everything. But maybe I need to realize that I can't expect my neighbor to share their Wi-Fi password with me.
Sharon ain't caring all the time.
Yeah, and then Okay, Carl, I come to you right now. Then there are the security risks. Like, I don't know what you'll be doing on it. What if you looking at porn or worse, child porn on my Wi-Fi network?
And okay. What if they get hacked? Or not even that. What if they end up with a malware attack?
And then that's, and now that's you on my network?
Yep, everything on you, all of you are infected.
It's yeah, like, Texas said, if they infected, you infected.
Yes.
See why I say we have to do classes? Okay, let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Ms. Thompson, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy listening to your tips and tricks. I think I'll make my password a whole Bible page long.
Mm-hmm.
Get around that. But I'm having a discussion with some friends of mine. We're going to be trying to talk about how we're going to move from this digital platform to the quantum leap pretty soon, as we're doing now, where you can be in two places at the same time kind of thing. You're saying that, you know, the invention of AI would be the last invention that man has ever made. The argument that rebutted that was this, and I want you to respond to this one. It might not be the last invention, but the last invention humans need to make here in the age of consent is the stop sign. I enjoy that.
Yes, sir.
How do you respond to the last one that man ever made, comparing it to the quantum leap that we're going to make soon, that the last one that we need to make? Where would AI be taking us? Places where we really can't stop it from taking us? You know what I mean?
I don't think I agree with that. Why? Okay. Invention is the mother of necessity, if I remember. I think
necessity
the quote
is the mother of invention, yeah.
I think that, let me start with this. I use AI. I'm not against it. I'm not for it. I use it, though. I would put it like this. So I'm not telling people they should use it. I'm not telling people they should not use it. But my overarching issue about AI, and this is just facts, is just like, is what's going to happen to the people at the end of it? And I'm not saying it to say, hey, people be afraid or the risks of jobs. But this is, if you go back to the assembly line, this is what happened. When the assembly line came in, lots of people lost jobs. Things then came around that necessitated that other jobs had to crop up.
Mm-hmm.
People had to do other things. AI is in the almost 75 years that it's been around, other inventions have come, other inventions have gone. So what is to say that it will not happen? Will humans rely on AI's capabilities to help them create the new inventions? Probably. Does it mean that that will always be the case? Not necessarily, because someone could still brainstorm. Brainstorming is still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
AI is compiled from great minds. So stands to reason that there will still be great minds.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are not working in traditional jobs and traditional means because of AI, then we have to think of other things to do.
We have time to think of other things
to do. So there's always that chance that we will still create. We
more
will still
and
invent. And, you know, everybody is still not on the AI chain. Some people say that AI is a shortcut and they want people to use by-hand methods and by-hand vision to create things. So I still think there is still going to be a lot of room for creation
mm-hmm.
and invention going forward.
And I think there's the need for it. And like you said, there's a human will demand it, right? And then we see like the Nordic schools who took the first leap into technology and education. They're pulling back to a balance and they're saying, oh, look here, we now see the need for by hand, for kids to be using their hands in the learning space, holding pens, holding pencils, right? Reading, using,
yeah,
reading
from
paper.
Yeah, I think it's always good. There's a real reason why we learn things the long way. People in my generation, if the lights go off, we know how to still function and do things manually. We understand the importance of manual processes because things fail.
Oh, look here. We're coming right back to that point, that sort of, because that point right there is like there's a demarcation of generations, right? Like our generation and knowing the manual way to do things. So let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? I missed you. I'm so sorry. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Okay, I'm sorry I missed you guys. I'm going to get to the text line in a second. This is a thing that I've noticed, like, young people seem to be lost when the tech dies, when the power goes off. Like you say, they don't know how to light a stove, electric stove, without the...
With them matches things, what the place is.
What are we going to do, right? I'm not sure if we realize that we can't, as adults, as the older generations, we can't just give up the manual. We also have to show our young people how the manual and the automatic work together. Let's go to the phone line quickly, producers. Try to catch these callers. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, Mr. Newey, and to the young lady.
Morning.
You know, I just wanted to highlight some things, and I was hoping to see Alan McCall, because, you know, I've had these type of discussions with him. And so I'm glad the lady mentioned how far and how old AI is, but I don't know if she's familiar with an article released by Dial Press in 1967. It's called Silent Weapon for Quiet Wars. And so it's not since the invention of the transistor and the capacity to store vast amount of computations that they are able to write these algorithms. Now, obviously, I like what she said. If man is feeding algorithms into the AI, then it's obviously man behind the intention of the invention. So why is it that we shouldn't be worrying if they had these movies socially engineering us for AI to destroy us? Basically, it's them wanting to destroy us. They want to replace us, but I wanted to blog this from 10 years ago when C. Allen and Ms. Malcolm was on the show, and I didn't want to scare with humanity. But when you look at the invention of brain mails, you know what brain mails are, right, Mom? Miss?
Yes.
All right, so what do you think the reason for that is? You look at the neural plant, the neural link, I know what they think, right? And so when we look at the pros and cons, and here's another thing that frightens me that I don't know if a lot of people really know. They're using, you have heard about AlphaFold?
No.
Not sure.
All right, well, AlphaFold tried to write new genomic sequences. And so I asked AI one question from, I saw it pop up on my phone because I didn't put it there. So that's what frightened me also. So I asked AI one question. I said, AI, was the lab leak hypothesis man-made, right, or natural? And AI went on to say that there's not a general consensus, but I know AI lied to me. So that's, yeah, I know AI lied because I know the science. And guess what happens? When you go and do the research, it actually shows you that the CGG-CGG amino acid sequence, it was never found in any SARS genome. So this point to the origins of man-made, and then you look at, you read all the other overviews. I'm not going to, people talk about challenge doctors. I'm not challenging any doctor, anybody. The truth is out there. And so what happens is I'm challenging the science because they know it's man-made.
I get you, 52.
They know it's a gain of function. And so by them using the AI to write genomic sequences, hence new biological entities. This, I don't have to be a genius to figure this out. What I'm saying is, and then you went on about dead drops or, like, let's say power cut. And you look at how humanity will be ostracized, and then trying to believe that, you know, you see how they have kidnapped our children now, and so children are black.
52. That's a whole lot of everything at one time. And I agree with you. This is a part of the conversation. You are on the, I don't even want to say the far end, but you are on the cutting edge. You are where ethics meets technology, right? You are far beyond the capacity of most of us in the audience today, though, at this late hour of the show. I have to say that. Is it worth it for us as a country to build our own AI model?
Why?
Why not?
That's what my question is. There's not...
nobody else but a Bahamian know why they can't find Jerry Rokentan. Nobody else. Right? And sort of akin to the conversation that just sort of popped up over the last few days in the question of seeking accreditation, external accreditation for a national institution like the University of the Bahamas, right? Is there a security value in creating our own AI?
I'm not going to go yay or nay on that because it all depends on what the intent is.
Okay, I understand.
And this is what I'll say towards the caller's question. When things are created, going back to the pencil, there is an intent.
Mm-hmm.
How it is then used
Maybe.
Is completely different. And people mm-hmm. need to understand. He brought up the brain meld. And this is basically, I think this would be similar to the tech that they used in China. And they tested it out on primary school children.
Mm-hmm.
It's a neural link, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it was used to determine children's, how much they paid attention in class.
Okay, so the device is assessing, measuring
mm-hmm.
activity in the brain. It's not putting information in the brain. Okay, cool. We ain't gone there yet.
Hold on. Let's just go for it. Because the technology is out there for a lot of things. But if you think about, the intent was to try to find ways to make sure people stay engaged, especially children. It was the thought behind it was to enhance learning.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit down, you think about how it could be applied to adults, the rewards and punishment systems that it could be applied to working adults, people who spend half of that as surfing the web.
It's akin,
and it goes down to where do you draw the line?
Okay, so yesterday we talked about the Democratic representative in Texas who all of the Democrats didn't go to work because they don't want to let the Republicans have a vote. Bang. And so when they finally came to work, they made them sign a consent form to say you'll have a police officer escort you between now and the next session to make sure you come back to work. Like, you trying to force me to be engaged.
Kind of, sort of. That's kind of where that went. But other tech is, let's say, they have think to move technology, also Neuralink.
Okay, now is that for people with mobility issues primarily?
Yes.
Right.
So it says that the thought behind it is your body is impaired, but in a lot of cases, your mind, your brain waves are still trying to send signals. And so AI is supposed to be trying to bridge that gap to actually get you movement or even think to speech.
I get you.
You think it, you can't communicate, and now we're not able to understand.
Right, but on the far extreme, on the unwilling participant, since in your national development program, I don't have to go to work. If I want to be poor and sit on the side of the road or in the bush, I don't have to go to work. But you're telling me that like there's technology that could send impulses to my brain that causes my brain to give instructions to my body.
That's not what I said.
Okay, I just said, I mean, on the extreme.
On the extreme side, I'm saying that because it is technology, all technology is technically, possibly hackable.
You could also use it for unintended purposes.
The intention can always be subverted.
Now, Ms. Thompson, we're all out of time. I love this because it means we got to have you back. And I'd like to engage you possibly. We could talk about it in a series because we got lots to talk about. We have got lots to talk about. Just as we end the show, give people your contact information if they're interested in asking you questions or directions to more information.
Well,
go on.
So my website is www.gscltd.tech.
All right. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. Just as we end the screen, why you call men uncle, but you don't call women auntie? I will tell you right now, Texter, why I call men uncle. Because sometimes I feisty. Sometimes people say, Brian, you think me and you is company. And I call them uncle so they'll know that I don't think we're company, uncle. I just think that I could challenge you in the space on these issues, but that don't mean I think we is company, uncle. That's all. Y'all have a great day, Bahamas. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Birds in the cage, on the highway working like slaves.
It's a con, it's a ruse, it's a gaslight. When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible. Work the and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Looking for your dream job in paradise? At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, we're hiring. And with over 200 positions available, we're confident you'll find your perfect fit. Whether you're passionate about keeping guests safe as a lifeguard, or if mixing up refreshing cocktails as a bartender is more your speed, there's a spot waiting just for you. Visit royalbeachclub@paradiseisland.com/career to explore openings and apply today.
This is how we do it.
Get ready to kick off the new school year with a bang. It's the Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. August 29th in the parking lot of the Nassau Guardian in Oaksville, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Join us for a day of fun, games, and back to school excitement. We've got something for everyone, from bouncing castles and face painting to health screenings, hair grooming, and giveaways. Meet some of your favorite local businesses and get ready for the new school year with all the essentials. We'll have school supply vendors and local eateries with delicious treats. Don't miss out on the fun. The Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th at the Nassau Guardians parking lot, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the perfect way to celebrate the end of summer and get excited for a great school year. See you here.
Brought to you by The Walking Clinic, Boss, Alive, FML, Asa H. Pritchett, Nassau Agencies, Original Parties, Caribbean Bottling Limited, Purity, Ari the Artist, Little Caesars, Marco's, Wendy's.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau.